to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
President, when discussing this issue in each stage, has reiterated his commitment to this principle that any criminal investigation should be conducted independent of any sort of political interference.
Oops, that was Josh Earnest in the White House briefing room yesterday under the sharp questioning of our next guest, James Rosen, admitting that there was a criminal investigation underway into Hillary's emails. James Rosen joins us now on the line. Good morning to you, James. How are you?
Great to be back with you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the other topic of the day, which is the funeral for Muhammad Ali in Louisville today. But I want to start out by talking about this briefly. Interesting, you were asking the question about whether or not career prosecutors over at the Justice Department might look at this endorsement of Hillary Clinton and take it as a sign that, well, we need to wrap this little email investigation up. And that's when Josh Earnest admitted that there was a criminal investigation.
In fairness to the White House, Josh Earnest answered, no, there is no conflict of interest posed when you have the head of the executive branch indicating that he wants the subject of a federal investigation to be his successor, and those federal investigators are still working the case. But it is interesting, in terms of the use of that term, criminal investigation, as you know, the administration has mostly eschewed that. The Clinton campaign has described this as a security review that the FBI is conducting,
right,
or a security inquiry. But the FBI director himself, James Comey, has said, I don't know what a security inquiry is. He said, we run investigations. Josh Earnest yesterday added the word criminal investigation. The White House says he was speaking generically. Mm-hmm. But in the clip you just played, it's clear that he was referring to the president's own thinking, quote, at each stage of this.
Well, and it also didn't help, I'm sure, that this perception image issue that they have when the president meets with the attorney general shortly after offering the endorsement to Hillary Clinton.
Yes, in reporting on that for a special report with Brett Baer last night, I said perhaps by coincidence, but as if on cue, Attorney General Loretta Lynch arrived for her own private session with the president just minutes after Josh Earnest said that.
Goodness gracious. And James, I think you and Cheryl Akison probably both can stake a claim of having a tumultuous 7 years with the Obama administration with regard to your, you know, famously your emails being looked at and your being named as a criminal co-conspirator at one point, I think, in an investigation over leaks. And then this latest go-around, you find yourself in the spotlight over an exchange that you had at the State Department that got officially deleted from the video archive. So I want to ask you to expand.
I'm hitting for the cycle, right, Larry?
Exactly. Well, I think that any other journalist would absolutely understand why you used the words authoritarian impulse with regard to the Obama administration in an interview you gave to Business Insider. Do you want to expand on that for a moment? Because those are some pretty strong words to say that an executive administration has an authoritarian impulse.
From the beginning, back in 2009, the Obama administration has waged what many have described as a war on Fox News. It began with an attempt with a public disparagement campaign by Anita Dunn and Robert Gibbs and David Axelrod and others at the time. It then escalated into an attempt to sever Fox News from the White House pool. And in our defense, all of the other members of the White House pool stood up at that time and rejected that. Then came the designation of me, the chief Washington correspondent of Fox News, as a criminal co-conspirator, and everything that ensued from that. Now we have an instance where the State Department, after initially denying as much for about 3 weeks, had to admit that someone in this same Obama administration deleted from the video archive of the State Department's briefings an eight-minute exchange of mine with Jen Psaki, in which most people have concluded I did eventually get Ms. Psaki to acknowledge that the administration had previously lied publicly about the Iran talks. The deletion of a portion of a public briefing is an attempt to erase history and memory itself. That is classically attributed in all political science manuals to an authoritarian regime as a certain kind of act.
I need to move on to the Muhammad Ali story, because many people don't know that you are an authority somewhat on Muhammad Ali. You're an obsessive chronicler and an admirer of Muhammad Ali as an athlete. And as they lay him to rest today, your thoughts?
It's hard to even decide which aspect of Muhammad Ali and his life and career even to begin with. Everything has been said, of course, about Muhammad Ali, and I still believe we are at the infancy of Muhammad Ali studies as a discipline. But I think if he had any preference in the matter, Muhammad Ali would want the first point to be made that he was the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. Mm-hmm. And I just urge all of our listeners to go on YouTube at some point and watch a full Muhammad Ali fight, from one of the good years, not toward the end. And just see how electrifying a spectacle it was to watch this man perform when he danced around the ring and moved in motion and was so good-looking doing it and so lethal as a fighter. And when the crowd goes wild and Howard Cosell is shouting, there is nothing more electrifying to watch. And so I think that's the ultimate tribute someone can pay to Muhammad Ali.
And I must ask you, I beg you, to tell us the story about your one encounter with Muhammad Ali.
Cause you're so good to me, man.
I love this story. You've got about 2 minutes, James.
April 20, 1999. I was walking outside Fox News, done for the day. I was 30 years old. It was around 9 o'clock at night, and about 10 feet in front of me, I suddenly noticed this tall African-American man in a very expensive Armani suit with his hands shaking violently almost and walking very stiffly, about 6'3". And I was like, that is him. My obsession with the man, dating back to childhood, we don't even have the time to really detail how marked it was, collecting every round of his career. I got to spend 20 minutes with him and his lifelong friend and photographer, Howard Bingham. I did all my impersonations of Cosell. It may be time to say goodbye to Muhammad Ali after George Foreman gets through with him. And I did the Ali shuffle for him, and I danced and pranced around him. He covered his mouth, and he pointed and with his eyes alive, and he loved it. He couldn't believe I knew his birth date off the top of his head. I got him to sign a $10 bill. I don't know where it is today. End of story.
Wow. You were everything but a fanboy during this encounter.
You know what? I said one bad thing to him, which I regretted, and I could see it cause pain on his face. I said, I cried the entire night, October 2, 1980, the Larry Holmes fight, listening to the bulletins coming out of Las Vegas. It was the worst night of his boxing career and probably the single most influential event in bringing on his incapacitation later in his life.
Yeah.
And I realized you don't say that to the champ. You maybe say that to another fan.
Yeah.
So to recover quickly, I said, but you look good, champ. In fact, I know exactly how good you look January 17, 1942. I'm so fast. I'm so pretty. I can turn out the lights and be in bed. Bogus dog. You know, and I did all this for him, and he loved it. And so I was grateful for that. For that encounter, grateful
and,
to God.
And I have heard this story 1,000 times.
Well, I haven't, but I could. And James, we are grateful that you shared it with us, especially on this day when the funeral proceedings take place down in Louisville. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, guys. All right, see you.
Talk to you soon.